All right, well, we are plugged in for Wednesday, 14th of August, 2024. It's the Kres Files podcast with Adam, and joining me for a chat tonight is author and researcher Dawn Lester. Dawn's been on the podcast with me for many years now, discussing her great work, and we have focused a lot on virus and germ theory, but we've done some great podcasts, so it's been an incredible ride, and we've had a few sound issues tonight trying to get the podcast ready to rock and roll, but I think we're all set now, so these are the things. We just continue forward, and but we should be okay now, Dawn, but it's always good to have Dawn on the podcast with me for our great chats and conversations as we move forward. And it's been a wild ride, 2024. So there's always a lot to discuss, that is for sure. So just to the followers out there and listeners who hear the podcasts out there on the RSS feed, get over onto krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, that's my website, and go back to the source there, because I do leave a lot of important information, you know, about the guests. So Dawn's information will be up there. You know, I copy and paste all the links in there, and the website, and about the books and things like that, and upcoming talking tours and speaking events or whatever it may be is always attached to the podcast description. So if you hear the podcast out there on iTunes or wherever it is, don't forget to go back to the website and have a look at all those links. For contact emails, everything. So it's important that you do that, and it's important to support real independent media. I'm here on the ground in Sydney, Australia, on the coast, and I said Dawn's in the UK, and it's great to get that connection going with my guests. And as we move very rapidly into 2024 and 2025, it's just been unbelievable times, hard to digest everything. But please get on the website and take a look at all the latest links up there. There's also sort of like a news chat box on the website, so anyone can log in there and leave any important links that you want to. Just put the link in and your description. We're over on Telegram and X as well. I'm also on Gab, if anyone's over there, and we do have a BitChute channel, so I do post the podcast over there as well. For the folks over there, they do really well, and so it's good to be doing this. Been going since 2015, and it's wonderful to be continuing. We're going to try and we'll chat a little bit about, I've got John Hamer coming up on Friday night. We're going to talk about the situation in the UK and the incredible censorship of people. And we'll talk a bit about that tonight with Dawn. So we always bring it in, this censorship issue. So it is important for us to be able to jump on here when we want to and put this kind of material out and podcasts, or have a blog or a website or a social media channel, or just whatever you want to. It's important for everybody to have their opinion and their say. You can't have government overreach and, you know, sticking their claws out and trying to reach out into the internet and pull down content because they don't agree with it. This is Orwellian, and what's happening in the UK is Orwellian. I'll go over that with Dawn tonight. If folks want to support the Kres Files and what I'm doing here, because I don't sell anything, and there's no pop-ups, there are no ads, Google WordPress ads, nothing. There's no affiliate links on the website. It's just the website. So all you'll see up there is a way to become a member. That's the best way. That's over on Buy Me a Coffee platform. Dawn's over there as well. So we'll put those links up. And that's a members platform on Buy Me a Coffee. If you want to support the Kres Files and me here, I do it alone. So it's really important times to support what we're doing here. Because we're not big independent media or anything like that. We're just sort of like flies on the wall, and we're looking at everything, and it's important that we have our say as well, and we continue with what we're doing. We're all doing different types of things. We have a great alternative media network here in Australia, and it's really crucial that we continue, especially coming out of Australia, because the world wants to know what's going on here, and we can do that. So click on one of the How to Become a Member banners on the website, or just look for the Kras Files on Buy Me a Coffee platform. It's safe and secure. It's through Stripe, which has always been a wonderful payment system and very secure in my books. And you can sign up for a monthly or save on a yearly, and you can cancel any time. You're in control over there if you would like to sign up. And I do lots of podcasting over there, and extra podcasts with the guests, and I do the Night Watch podcast almost every night, and that's a way for me to plug in and sort of like go over everything that I'm seeing all over the place and here on the ground in Australia for the Kras Files members, and they get emailed out to you. So support Real Independent Media over there, and as I said, go back to the website and you'll find all Dawn's information, how to buy the great books and support her work as well, and contact her and find her on social media and those things. So we're still going after all these years, Dawn. Unbelievable times. I can't really work out 2024. It's been a strange year, you know, with all the stuff happening in the US and the Donald Trump and the year and the elections and this kind of COVID thing that they're still trying to push, mass censorship reaching out, you know, especially from the UK, a new Labour government in the UK that has just unsettled everybody. It's probably the worst government I've ever seen in my life. And the damage that they've done in like barely a month has been phenomenal. And the threat of wars and things and just keeping the fear levels up, you know, as you know, so many people, such a huge chunk of humanity wake up and want to look at information and share it and jump on board with us. It's pretty incredible times to be alive, to be honest. And it was the just recently what was happening in the UK that just, as I said before we started, made me think of you and if you're safe and everything and what kind of area you're in. And over there in the UK, and you're okay, and that's
yes,
good.
Thank
and
you.
you've been doing your work and moving forward, and you've got some exciting projects, which we'll get you on, Dawn, and see how you are, and then we'll talk about these new workshops and things you're doing because you're not stopping, you're moving forward. No
am,
time
indeed.
For propaganda.
Yes.
You're moving forward. So how are you? How's
point.
Everything on your end?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Adam. I'm not ignoring what's going on, but I'm not letting it stop me. So that's really how we work with things. And yes, it was very kind of you to check in on me, but no, there's nothing.
It's all good.
So-called riots, nothing's happening near where I am. So I'm substantially outside of London in a Not totally rural, but certainly a quieter part.
How far is it to London from where you are, Dawn, if you were to travel by car?
By car? Well, if you're saying, you know, into the centre of London, it's probably an hour and a half. I don't know. I just don't drive into London.
It's a strange thing, isn't it, how, like, London is such a... It's such a dense... Like, it's such a huge place, but... Going out,
well,
it's like wonderful countryside that a lot of people are preferring to move to and live.
Yes, well, I mean, that's what inspired me to move out many years ago. More than 40 years ago. So, yes, I did start off in London, but no, I definitely prefer greenery in the countryside. The, you know, concrete jungle was not really my thing. But before we get caught up in things, as you were saying about the different things that are going on, I'm speaking at an event in London. So if there's anyone who is in the vicinity or can travel into London for the 28th of August, that's literally 2 weeks today, so it's very exciting. It's an event called What If My Body Is Brilliant. There are four of us speaking. It's organised by Lisa Strabak, who's a homeopath, and the other speakers are Jacqueline Dahn, myself, and we've got Alex Zeck coming over from the States. So, which is really exciting that he'll be part of that event. So it's between 1 and 5, and I sent you the link. So if anyone's interested, the link will be in the show notes somewhere. If somebody can actually turn up, you know, actually able to get there. And there's a new event that's an offshoot, if you like, of an Acapulco, which has been held for a number of years now in Mexico, and this is called Liberpulco, which is being held in Serbia. So this is now, you know, an Acapulco in Europe. So if anyone's able to get to Serbia, travel to Serbia, that's between the 5th and the 7th of September. Again, I've sent you the link, Adam. So if people can actually travel there, there's also a code that you can use to get 10% off the tickets. So you can use that. And also, if you can't actually travel, in the same way as an Acapulco, they're running Liberpulco, they're running a virtual event. So there are tickets available for that. And again, there's a code that you can use for 10% off the ticket, which again, I've sent to Adam. So that's there. So that's, so yeah, in a couple of weeks, I've got 2 weeks, you know, a couple of events going on over, as I say, the last week in August and the first week of September. So that's exciting, being not just being able to talk, but connecting with like-minded people, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts about how we can move forward. It's not just, oh, this is the one way. And again, the, you know, the connection with Alex Zeck's organization, The Way Forward, it's so appropriate, because that's what a lot of us are focusing on, you know, how we move forward out of the old system that seeks to control and entrap us into a system where we, well, I say a system, but I mean, yeah, a way of living where we are free. So that's really the, yeah, the plugs before I forget all of that. So thank you. And as far as what's going on in this country, I mean, first of all, as you say, with, you know, the new Labour Party government or whatever, and the Prime Minister, I mean, it's nothing to do with anything the people want. And it's not that Keir Starmer's got an agenda of his own that he's putting in. He's just the guy who's prepared to do what he's being told to do.
Mm.
And I would remind people that I can't remember if it's 2020 or 2021. There was something or other where he, and I don't know the exact quote, but he was pretty outspoken against people that he labelled, and I'm doing air quotes here, anti-vax. So it looks like the agenda is going to include something that ramps up the efforts to discredit people like us who are sharing information about vaccinations, only it's going to be called misinformation. And I saw something recently where we were accused of being responsible for, was it 200,000 deaths in America or something stupid like that? And off the, there's like, actually that's just blanked where I saw that. But just, you know, so these, you know, this misinformation or whatever it is being construed as, oh, you know, we're responsible for people's deaths. Well, they can say whatever they like, but I'd ask them, you know, where's your evidence, you know, that anything that we've said has actually caused anyone any harm? And
he blamed Starmer, didn't he? He caused it all. He caused all that in my book, Dawn, because of his attitude. And I think that, you know, he came out at a time when people just wanted him to come out and show some leadership. And he came out and just made the whole thing worse. And now I'm watching the Great Britain news at night here, you know, just having a look, and they're blaming what people are saying online. instead of taking responsibility for their own government and what they've done. You know, they just keep blaming the people and blaming people who are posting things in different countries. Which
well,
is insane.
I mean, that's the whole idea. It's the whole idea. I mean, you know, when you were saying earlier about, you know, you're not some big independent media platform. Well, that's the whole point. There are many people like you who are probably best described as citizen journalists. You're looking at what's being put out and you're analysing it and saying, exposing the lack of evidence for what's being shared. I mean, to a certain extent, I suppose I could come under the same category. Not that I have a regular podcast, but you know, I do write articles, I do speak to people, and I'm sharing information that shows what the, well, it's not just the mainstream, I mean, showing the problems with what the mainstream's saying, and also to some extent showing the problems or the issues with some of what the so-called independent media are saying, because, you know, there is depends what you regard as the independent media, but I mean there are lots of angles to some of these, lots of different angles to some of these stories, and it's in some way helping to keep people in a state of confusion, which of course makes it even harder for them to know what's actually going on and to be able to make decisions for themselves. And so of course, you know, the default is to, well, I don't understand it, so I'll just default to what, you know, if it's a health matter, I'll just default to what the doctor says, or I'll just default to what the BBC says. Although I think far fewer people are doing things like that. I think there are more and more people who are saying, no, I'm not going to default to the mainstream, I'm not going to default to the BBC, certainly. Although the BBC is definitely a source, is a source for me, or that's my starting point, because I look at I look at the stories they're promoting to get a sense of the direction that they're trying to push the agenda in. And of course, it is very much along the line of, just more vaccinations. So they really are trying to push vaccinations, you know, I mean, that's quite clear. Because I know, you know, there's been an alleged, I mean, there are stories about a so-called uptick in COVID cases in Australia. So I've looked at some of that. And of course, it's all based on trying to get people to be vaccinated. And there's also stories about what used to be monkeypox, but now they're just calling it mpox. It's ridiculous, but I mean, so mpox is now, there's an outbreak in Africa, and of course they want to use that as an excuse to get more people into Africa for alleged health reasons. But of course we know that Africa is rich in resources, so is that another resource and land grab, resource grab, land grab, just excuses, oh, we've got to get in there to help the poor people. And of course some of the people in those teams are not necessarily health or medical people, and they have other agendas when they get there, which is to speak to the local groups and the local leaders and try and encourage them to get everyone not just vaccinated, but then, to make deals so that corporations can come in. And I know that might sound like conspiracy theories, but, there's plenty of information, support for what I've said. And some of that is actually in what really makes you ill. It's not, we do far more than just talk about the germ theory in that book. That's why it's nearly 800 pages. There's quite some depth, and certainly in chapter 8 where we talk about the situations around the world, not just focusing on the US and UK and Europe, really to just show where the agenda is going, and also the 2030 agenda of so-called ending poverty and all that kind of stuff, just to show really what they're aiming at, so that we can be aware when we hear of these people going in to help the poor people in Africa because they need their vaccines. Well, no, they don't, because a lot of people are supporting charities to for that end. You know, these charities that are, we need to raise money so we can go and give them their vaccines. And the more people who are aware of how dangerous vaccines are, the fewer people will support those charities. So that's, again, that there are so many angles to this. And that, I mean, I've just thought of that one, really, that's again with the charities. And I know I'm going off at a tangent, but the point, although it's not really a tangent, because all these points are intersected, interconnected, they intersect in to a certain extent around the health, because that was the spearhead of what started in 2020. So, of course, they're using all this fear of germs and infectious diseases and all that nonsense to push all these other things through, because, they're just trying to keep people in fear. I kind of feel that, the way they're pushing so hard now smacks a little bit of desperation. I don't know if that's just me wishful thinking, but it's, they're really, really pushing as hard as they can. Maybe because they're recognizing there's some pushback, and that's why they're having to ramp up this nonsense about censorship, and that's why they're having to go harder on so-called anti-vaxxers and, the misinformation on the internet and that kind of thing. So, the censorship, and that's, I think, what's behind why they're ramping it up, because we are making our voices heard. People are not as supportive of the mainstream. So I think, to a certain extent, we can say, well, hey, we're making an impact. And of course, they don't like that, but that's good, in a way, because more and more people are not following the mainstream. So, yeah, that's where I am. That's where my thinking is. But I'm sure we can go into more detail in some of those points.
It's interesting looking at the UK because we had these crazy events in Australia with stabbings and things, and that came out of nowhere. Suddenly, people were being stabbed, and all of this, and the malls and stuff happened. And then there was the church stabbing and these things, and then out of this was born very quickly. And I said this on the first podcast that I did for the Crass Files members on the day that it happened. This was in Sydney with a man that apparently took a knife and started stabbing people in the mall. For no reason, and a baby was
Crazy.
stabbed. And all of this wasn't adding up to me, but as I like that night that I went on to the Nightwatch podcast, I said that it's going to be about online censorship, and that's exactly what happened. It didn't happen quickly. It came like a few days later or whatever, but they started just pushing censorship online. Of course, with the church stabbing as well, the video went up online and social media, and they created this e-safety commissioner. The e-safety commissioner, Karen, here, who's an American lady, who wanted to stop the viewing of that video, and that's where things sort of it exploded a little bit, because they were saying that people in the UK or America shouldn't be able to watch that they should be able to censor it. And of course, people like Elon Musk and these people who run these platforms ignored them. So then it got more serious, and they really tried to flex their muscles there to basically control what people see in other countries. And this was coming from Australia, and they lost. They lost. It all fell to bits, and people just posted more, and they got made fun of. And then everybody started putting up memes of the Prime Minister, and then they tried to censor that, and people just did more. And so and now when I look in at the UK situation, which is a situation of unchecked mass migration into that country, I was just watching the Britain news last night, and it was astonishing to me to watch this boats, coming into the UK, like coming these boats with Africans or whatever, there's no families, no children, just all men. And to watch these boats just coming into the shore there and they're just letting them in, it's an unbelievable thing to watch. This is unchecked. There's more than ever under this guy's watch, Starmer, and they're just flooding in, and there's no checks and balances there. Whereas in Australia, that's almost impossible to do. I mean, if you come here by boat or people smugglers smuggle people in, it's pretty much technically impossible to come in that way, because we have the strong borders and navy and boats out there. But it was amazing to see in Britain how they're just flooding in and just walking into the country. No visa, they're not coming in the right avenues or doorways. And then the government under Starmer are basically saying, well, it's too dangerous for us to send them back. So we can't do that. They have to stay here. It's like crazy. I mean, it's like what's happening in Ireland. They're relocating huge amounts of migrants into small communities, farming communities and stuff that don't have the resources for them, speak English, they don't have any money. So this has been going on in the UK for a long time, and I think it's obviously hit a boiling point, and the working class people have had enough, and too right to them, good on them, and they've made a stand. So it's a critical point for the United Kingdom, and you know, if we were to look at what's going on there and what's happened in the past, I've been watching it and reporting on it every night. On the Nightwatch podcast, I've been breaking it down every single night. I don't know how many podcasts I've done just talking about this. It's been unbelievable to watch what's happened in the UK. But the one thing, watching the news, and as you do, Dawn, you keep an eye on everything, it's this whole censorship thing that's bubbled up. Controlling the internet, controlling what people can post. And it looks like, it is true now that in the UK they've gone even worse than New Zealand or Australia could ever go. They've gone not just a step more, but they've gone, it's on steroids now. I mean, they make Daniel Andrews, the dictator of you know, dictator Daniel Andrews, look like a child here. What they're doing now in the UK under this Starmer is quite fascinating to me, by threatening people who are in other countries with what they're allowed to post online. Have you been watching that?
I haven't looked at it in too much detail. I am aware of some of those things, although we always have to strike a balance of being aware and at the same time not falling into fear and thinking, oh, because that's the whole idea of, oh, if it's, oh, look what they'll do to me, so I'll stop, you know. And that's exactly what they want. They want people to self-censor if at all possible. They'll have a few scapegoats. And then
scare people off from posting anything.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. It's like, oh, look what happened to them. Oh, I won't post that. And so, again, people are self-censoring. Now, I know.
Are threatening to arrest people, even if you're in another country. They're doing that in the UK. The police are saying that even if you're in America or somewhere, we can hunt you down and extradite you to the UK for prosecution.
Yeah.
That's fear
crazy.
Tactics.
Totally.
Total fear tactics to get you to stop posting anything online and stop asking questions about what's going on in the UK, which is your right as a citizen to do.
Yes. I'm not quite sure I refer to myself as a citizen, but I mean, that's fine. I
Citizen
know what you
Dawn.
Mean. I suppose technically because I've got a passport, but anyway, yeah.
I know. We're stuck in a little way, aren't we?
Yes, and again, I
passports and driver's licenses and things.
Well, they're useful because it means I can travel.
That's right.
Should I want to, so
it makes you a citizen. But I think there are ways to navigate and be smart about living your life as well. There is a lot of ways to you know, remove yourself from the system as well, but also be a part of it if you need to. You know, not to just be completely gone. You know.
Yes, I mean, there are lots of people in looking into all sorts of ways of how we can be less tied to these systems as we develop other ways of living. I was going to say not systems, but I mean just developing other ways of system of living. You know, that's the Buckminster Fuller quote of, you know, you can't fight an old system. You know, build a new one that makes the old one obsolete. So that's where we are, and these things, you know, to some extent take time. So we're those of us who are aware of what's going on, there are a lot of people who are looking at different ways, and it's, you know, it's not just about one way, it's different ways, and certain ways suit some of us. So the idea really is to keep it away from being centralized, and that's the key aspect of anything that's going to work, is to make it decentralized. And that also requires us to take responsibility for ourselves and take control over as many aspects of our lives as we can, and move into taking control over all the others as we can. So that's, you know, these are skill sets that, you know, we haven't been taught as we were growing up. You know, the whole the indoctrination system known as school is part of that, but of course it starts before we go to school with how our parents brought us up. And that's not blaming our parents, it's just saying that, you know, they had a certain way of understanding the world, and that's part of their conditioning, and that's gone on. And now we're saying no, we have to break out of this conditioning and find new ways, because this is just getting so oppressive. And we want to live freely, so that's where we're all working towards. So it is that balance of being aware of what is being attempted to be rolled out, and it's whether we allow ourselves to fall into fear about it, or to maybe say, okay, well, maybe I can find a different way to do something. So sometimes it allows us, or, you know, inspires us to be creative, to say, okay, well, maybe I won't do that, I'll do it this way. So you know, for example, not using YouTube and posting more on other channels, you know, Rumble or whatever, and at the same time YouTube is useful, because that has, you know, that has access to a lot of people who we might not get on other channels. But it just requires us to maybe be more careful with what we say, so we don't get censored. And it's not to say, oh, you know, we just crumbled. Oh, you know, you get censored, so we're going to be careful what we say. You know, there's ways of doing it, just to make sure that the information gets out, but we may just be more guarded in how we speak. So it's with the censorship, it's just like, okay, well, that's what they're trying, and how can we circumvent it? How can we find creative ways to, you know, alternative ways? And so, you know, in some respects, it's actually getting people to really, you know, be, oh, okay, let's see how we can do it differently. What can we do? So it's not just, oh, that's what we can't do. Okay, well, it seems that route may be difficult, so let's find a different route, let's work a way around it, you know. So it inspires people to be creative, which I think is a good thing.
Started here in Australia too, Dawn, during the COVID lockdowns, under Dictator Dan in Melbourne. He did all these tricks, and it was funny for me watching how the police in the UK were treating just the working class people via the arrests. They were using the same techniques, the exact same techniques that I saw in Melbourne, and same kettling techniques, where they would, and also where they sort of, like, there's a whole lot of people there, the police will line up and they'll just grab one person, take them behind the police line and rough them up to scare the other people off. It's, you know, it's like bank robbers. I was talking about this on the Night Watch podcast, yet they have to, they rob a bank, they don't want to hurt or kill anyone, they have to put out that strength, you know, to avoid conflict. So they've got to, you know, they've got to put out that fear on the people. You know, I'm going to blow your head off if you move, get on the floor, we take the money and we leave, no one gets hurt, you know. So people think they're going to get killed. so that's what the police do. And Victorian police were were actually trained by Israeli policing tactics as well under Daniel Andrews. But this was a type of police display that Australians have never seen or been exposed to before. And it was very new in this country during the COVID lockdowns in Melbourne, longest lockdowns in the world. And that's why I noticed in the UK they were using those techniques straight away. That was really interesting to see over there. So it's kind of like the same thing that we saw during the, it's not the lockdowns, it's like civil unrest that's bubbled up, but it's kind of like a similar thing that I'm noticing there. But yeah, obviously with the police and the government in the UK doing what they did in Australia, using a hell of a lot of fear tactics to stifle any kind of debate, to scare people, to shut this down as quickly as they can. But looking at the UK, it's a little bit of a different animal, and it seems to me what they've done and what he has done. If this guy calls himself a prime minister, I don't. Obviously, as you said, he's completely a puppet, and he's compromised, and he's just under control. He's just doing. He's being steered forward and taking his orders. A lot out of Ardern's book, actually, from New Zealand, what he is doing. But they're using a lot of fear, yeah, obviously, and trying to just spook people and scare people off. What's your thoughts on, because this is this is where your life is and where you live. What's your thoughts on seeing all of this unrest and all these people out there? I do feel for them, I feel like they've been really badly treated, that these are working class people, obviously have something they want to say, and I feel like the whole situation is being terribly handled by this current government. They've just handled it terribly. And I think a lot of people see that. They've added fuel to the fire. He has as well. I mean, as an outside observer, I just see him as a smart ass, really, He hasn't come up there and offered one positive thing as a leader, He didn't come up there. I mean, a lot of the people were saying, we were just looking for for him to come out and say, let's just calm this down, put a bit of cold water on this, and we're going to work this out as a nation, and we're going to find a better way. He didn't. He just in He made the whole situation worse with his comments, and his arrogance, and made people angrier. And now there's just all this kind of bad stuff happening there as they try to drag the people down. You would hope for some kind of unity, and I think that all those people should just kind of occupy Parliament and just stay there, That's the best thing to do because that's where their so-called leaders are. But this unrest, how's this? What's your thoughts on all of this? I know you probably just sort of watch it on the news and stuff, but it's been unbelievable to see these places on fire and this kind of stuff going on. It's with the whole world watching on, looking at the UK and these very famous areas where you've got all this unrest and stuff going on. They got travel warnings and things like this. As we say, a lot of fear happening with here is and this is how they control the populations through massive amounts of fear. How's this been for you watching
Absolutely.
This situation in the UK kind of get more tense and just kind of blow up like that with all these little children being killed and stabbed and all this stuff? It's quite a crazy place for us to all be in 2024, isn't it?
Yes. I haven't been watching. I haven't been diving into it in any detail, so I'm afraid I can't share too much, too many comments on anything like that. I can give a general overview, but I can say that there is nothing near me that's, there's nothing like that going on near me. So it's only in certain pockets. I can say that, now be careful not to make a sort of an actual statement that I can't support. So let's say I would suggest it is extremely likely that those riots were not natural. They were fomented. They were started by people who want to create something, you know, or else maybe there was something that they decided to ramp up and turn into something else, only so that they can do exactly as, you know, you've said, to ramp up the fear, to create fear, to make people then afraid of coming to this country. So it's when, you know, that these are just little pockets. I mean, obviously anything that's going on in the centre of London will disrupt the tourist industry, of course, because, you know, a lot of people go to the centre of London because that's where the you know, a lot of the so-called sites are. So anything that's happening in the centre is going to stop people from going there, which of course will have a knock-on effect for anyone who's in the tourist industry on in the hospitality, sorry, that's the word I was looking for, sort of hospitality industry, because of course, you know, the hotels and restaurants and everything are going to feel the pinch if you know, there aren't the tourists coming to London, sorry, excuse me, central London at least. Now, what this is all about, and as you say, there are similarities, which just, you know, not between what's going on here, what's gone on in Australia and New Zealand and various other parts. The fact that there are similar things going on shows that there is a more centralized idea that's being played out in different parts, because, you know, there's, why would something that's happening here be very, very much the same as something happening somewhere else? You know, there's, you know, why? Now, there is discontent, and I understand that, and certainly with respect to the immigrants. I would also suggest, and again, so I'm, you know, because unless we can actually prove it, but I would suggest it's highly likely that these people, in many cases, are not just being allowed in, they're actually being brought in. And there are a number of ideas of what they're being brought in for. And as you say, you know, if they're young men and not with families, chances they're refugees, there's a question mark. So I can't make positive claims without having the evidence, and I don't have the evidence to prove. So I'm going to make suggestions of, you know, in the same way as, like we say, with, you know, what makes you ill? Well, I can't tell you what it was, but I can make some suggestions of what it might be. So that's the same process I'm going through here, that, you know, there certainly seems to be efforts to bring in people, and there are various reasons for that, or there are various aspects to that that can play out, you know, in different ways. So it can be to just disrupt the employment market, because these people can then ask for lower wages, and so that reduces the standard of living for everyone around. And so employers who are looking just to make a profit, and of course costs are going up, so these different businesses are looking to obviously try and make a living, so they're looking to reduce their costs, and employee costs being, you know, being able to reduce employee costs may help that. So, you know, you can see there's some logic and sense to some of this, which is obviously what they're playing on. But I think there's something more nefarious going on underneath. Now, some people are talking about it as, you know, trying to foment World War III or something like that. And I think it's definitely... it definitely looks like efforts to get people fighting each other rather than pointing the finger at where the problems really lie. Because while we're fighting each other, we're not solving the problems. And that is, to some extent, what they want. And of course, the fact that they're ramping this up suggests that they are aware that many of us are actually starting to cooperate and collaborate and work together. So they want to keep finding ways to make us have different ideas and different views, and then keep the division going, keep the fighting going, keep the infighting going. So they're just giving us new ways of, just fighting each other, keeping arguing, not agreeing, not finding where we agree, and actually just keep forcing the issues where people are then having different viewpoints, and then the fear ramps up, the anger and all the emotions come to the surface, and then people are not thinking rationally, of course, because that's the whole point. Keep people in fear, keep people angry. They're not thinking clearly, they're not thinking rationally, and they're not creating solutions. So, these are the ideas at the heart of all of this, however it may play out in different ways. So whether it's, immigrants coming in, or the news about, extra censorship, these are all efforts to keep us out of a place of saying, sort of finding solutions, really, going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, it's incredible times, isn't it, Dawn? Especially leading up to the US elections, just everything that's happening. In the illusion, I guess, to keep us all tied into it, so we don't recognize the truth. And anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. In the UK, moving forward, going back, moving towards our hour, but I'll bring in two more points. Just the one. I got an article here from the Telegraph, because I noticed this in the week, because you mentioned this before. The WHO is adding Black Death, plague, bird flu, and mpox to new pandemic watch list. So the Black Death and the bird flu and the mpox are among 24 threats that have been added to an influential watch list of the pathogens that could trigger the next pandemic. So in the first update since COVID-19 swept the planet, which it didn't because there's nothing there, exactly. A World Health Organization panel has dramatically expanded the scope of its index of so-called priority pathogens. So they've been burning chickens here because of chook flu and carrying on and all of this stuff. They're still, pushing the COVID-19 things. They bring in here, keep in mind, just for our listeners as well, this is from the Telegraph UK. Already notorious diseases like Zika, yellow fever, and avian influenza have been added alongside lesser known threats such as Sin Nombre virus, which jumps from deer mice to people and has a fatality rate of 30% in the US. Several bacteria, including cholera, the plague, and salmonella, have also been incorporated for the first time. they call this a watch list. So it sounds like more WHO jargon, to say the least. But this is as they sort of gear up for the concept of the disease X, which is probably just the vaccinated, and the injuries we're going to see there. Or this technology and 5G and stuff they're turning on and all of this. But this is incredible, Dawn, especially looking at your research and everything, because I think we've done some chats on, and I would say to listeners out there, go on Kras Files and just type in Dawn Lester and have a look at all our chats. We've talked about HIV AIDS. We've talked about the Black Plague. We've talked about all these boogeymen, the Grim Reaper sort of stuff in history. It's interesting, Dawn, isn't it, to see these in such... to see the the pathetic, as you said, they're desperate. This desperate. It feels like this system. It's this last kind of desperate pitch to maintain control and order here. I mean, by they're just throwing everything in the mix now. I mean, as if the fake COVID thing wasn't enough, and all the ridiculous variants they made up, and all the situations. I mean, it was really incredible what we've seen since 2019, for example, especially 21, 22, or 21 mostly, but what they did and what they got away with the whole COVID-19 psychological operation, because that's what it is. There was nothing there, never was. There's nothing there. Nothing being released. Nothing's changed, folks, to our listeners out there. Nothing. That was all a psychological operation, predominantly run through the television sets, to spook people and to get them to believe in something, to conjure up in their minds something that simply does not exist, like a nightmare. Now to read this in something, well, I don't read the Telegraph, Dawn, but as you do, you're like me, you know, and our listeners, we're like flies on the wall. We like to watch everything, as you said when we started. You like to watch everything and get an idea of where we're going here and break it all down, because that's our job. Some people can't deal with the corporate media, and I understand that. You've got to have thick skin like us, but I like to look at it, because I believe that they're kind of, they're giving us a lot of hints here, and there's a lot of, you know, you could probably, it's like breaking open an egg and getting rid of the shell and, you know, the egg white and just keeping the yolk. I mean, you know, I like to kind of just break all of this mainstream media stuff down and have a look at what are they really trying to tell us here, and all of this. It's very interesting, you know. They need to tell humanity what they're doing, what they've done, what's coming, what they're planning, but they wrap it all up in propaganda. So, you know, it goes into your subconscious mindset, as we always explain, but you don't take it seriously in a way like watching movies. But this kind of stuff, looking at the Telegraph UK, talking about how the WHO is adding the Black Death Plague and the Mpox, as you mentioned before, this is quite remarkable, isn't it? Have they run out of ideas by bringing up the Black Death? Have you taken a look at this? We've been so transfixed with explaining that COVID isn't real, but now the WHO and Tedros are throwing in the Black Death. So we've got to backtrack a bit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the Telegraph, well, it used to be regarded as a prestigious newspaper, but I don't think anything in the mainstream media is can be regarded in that way anymore.
They've painted themselves that way, haven't they, Dawn, throughout time, that they're prestigious and the way that they run things, it's like they're the pinnacle of information. But I mean, you look at this stuff, you shake your head in disbelief.
Well, they're just putting out what they're supposed to through the news wires or whatever. But, you know, if so, it's just, you know, apparently if the WHO says it, then it's newsworthy or it's worthy to be rehashed and put out as an article. I mean, it's, you know, it'll probably be on the BBC. I haven't seen that one. But I mean, there's no surprise really. And again, interesting with all three, the plague, Mpox and bird flu, they're all supposed to be transmitted by animals to us, or they're, you know, something to do with animals, and you know, we can get this stuff. And totally unproven and, you know, complete nonsense and nothing to do with germs or anything like that. There's a subtext to that, which is they want us to be afraid of animals so that we move off the land, or we, you know, we don't spend time, you know, we keep away from spending time in nature or that kind of thing, because they want people to be herded into these 15-minute cities. So it's just, oh, you know, there's those dangerous animals out there, so you can get these diseases. And, you know, that's why they're, you know, like,
scared of nature, Dawn.
They're trying to make people scared of nature.
Always been
scared
like
of
that.
Animals. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's why that's my suggested response to plague, Mpox and bird flu being ramped up. And it's just, just more labels of so-called, scary diseases that you might get, which is, it's just all nonsense, because all of those ideas are, as we've gone through, as you say, so many times, all based on the germ theory, which has never been proven. It's not even a theory, it's a hypothesis, and it should have been put in the rubbish bin of history a very long time ago. But it's I'm hoping it's going through its death throes now, as more and more of us are exposing it. The thing is that it's they're trying to hold on to it, so they're trying to push as much, as you say, like in desperation, they're just throwing as much out as possible to try and ramp up fear where they can, and it does smack of desperation. So I think maybe that's why this year has seemed somewhat crazy. And as you say, with all the, and again, I didn't watch it, I just saw sort of the occasional posting on a couple of social media sites of the whole Olympic stuff, and
That was insane.
with the Trump thing, as you said, they're coming to an election, so the propaganda is going to be ramped up, because they're whatever games that they're trying to put out. So it's not that we can second guess them, because at the same time, to be aware of the underlying agenda, so that we can recognize the patterns, and so we can see what they're trying to do, and to sort of say, oh right, oh okay, they're pushing this all out, they're ramping this all up, and a lot of it is to do with the whole vaccination thing, which is why, again, I suspect Starmer was put in that position. Whether he won or not, who knows? I mean, it doesn't matter what the actual votes were, because we know these elections are nothing to do with the way people vote. It's only who they want to put into place. So they obviously had him ready to be the next front man for their agenda, and things were leading up to that, as I say, before, because of his comments about anti-vaxxers and targeting people who are putting out what they call misinformation, but what I call is real information. What I say is real information, because once you start looking at vaccinations, there is zero evidence for them being able to do anything other than cause harm, and that's been the case right from the very beginning. So it's to be aware of, and when I say their agenda, again, just to say, okay, they, this ubiquitous they, whoever these controllers are, whatever you want to call them, the people who would like to control us, the people who are aiming to, and not doing a very good job at succeeding. It's beginning to fall apart. So that, like we say, they may have an agenda, they may have a plan. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. And the more we are aware, and the less energy we give to what they're doing. So again, it's having that awareness of the kind of things that are being reported, and the information that's being put out, and making sure we don't fall into the fear of it, and also to share our perspectives to stop or to help other people from falling into the fear, so that we can actually not do what they expect us to do, which is to carry on being divided and fight each other over these very, well, in some cases, minor issues, like whatever it is. But also in the sort of politics, I think I would imagine that most listeners of this podcast will know that, whatever, if it's the left wing or the right wing, they're two wings of the same bird. So it's not like the what happens if one gets into power will be different from the other. It might happen in a slightly different way, but it's still moving things forward. And we say, okay, well, that's what they think they're doing, and for us to, as I say, look at what we want to do, how we go forward, how we create our own lives, and that involves connecting and collaborating with other people. So we, you know, we may not all agree on everything, and that's fine to say, okay, well, you know, I see things slightly differently. But hey, can we, you know, let's collaborate on this, and go, okay, that's fine. So it's not to say, well, I can't work with you because you don't believe the same as me. I mean, that's, you know, that's what they're after, getting us to divide on these issues where we may not see 100% eye to eye. So it's just keeping that in mind. And it's not to say, oh, you know, don't be afraid of things, because if you live somewhere where there's riots going on, and I'm, you know, I'm sure that must be scary, but to at least be mindful of what's behind, and it may be not quite as it's being portrayed.
Yeah, it's funny, well, looking here as well, but with everything that's going on in the UK at the moment, Dawn, it's very Orwellian, isn't it, out of 1984, out of Orwell's book. I put this article up just recently because I saw it on the news over there that they're going to change the curriculum in UK schools to teach young students to identify extremist content online. So, you know, like, children in England will be taught how to spot extremist content and misinformation online under planned changes to the school curriculum. This is under Starmer. And it's like, well, so who decides what that is, you
exactly.
know? And they actually called it putrid conspiracy theories. And even on the UK news, they're saying this is straight out of the pages of George Orwell's 1984, which I've read many times and I've seen the movies. Yep. It's like they're not even being original. It's like they're plagiarizing his work, you know, and it's so fitting that it's in the UK that this guy has come in at this time and he's doing this. This is really crazy to even mention something like that. Obviously, it's going to annoy the hell out of a lot of people. But they are talking about changing the curriculum there, and it was I was talking about this a few times, how Orwellian this is, and it's fitting here in the article. They've put in the Pink Floyd song, you know, Another Brick in the Wall. Yep. Teacher, leave those kids alone, you know. I love Pink Floyd. I think my favorite album, actually, my favorite album of all time is Dark Side of the Moon. I just love the band.
Yeah, me too.
Always loved them, love their music. And they're absolutely amazing. And anyway, that was an article I posted. But I was just watching. I've got an app here on the TV for the GBN News, so it just keeps me clued in to at least they're a little bit more open on that GBN News as to what's happening in the UK, and they give you sort of all sides. But when I saw that the other night, I was like, that's incredible to even mention something like that, to change the curriculum of schools. So that's the sort of where they're trying to go anyway. As we've been talking about tonight, it's all fear-mongering, but... you know, that's crazy how do the teachers even begin to implement something like that? You know, what is a conspiracy theory? I mean, the moon landing's a conspiracy theory, Dawn. I mean,
yep.
We're questioning virus theory and things like that. There's a lot of things that we question out there and we talk about and we get the discussion rolling, but to say that in schools that you're going to change the curriculum to do this to children so they can't question the reality around them and only get the forced narrative fed to them by the government and institutions and the, you know, political and monopolies and the school system is really a crazy thing. So incredible things happening under this Starmer character, isn't it, Dawn? And I go back to George Orwell's 1984. I always like those memes. They've got these great memes up with George Orwell reading his own book and he's like startled, you know. Because it's like he's looking at 2024. It's like, what the hell?
yes, I saw that recently. That there's a book and on the front cover, it's got 2024.
2024 and his pipe's coming out of his mouth and he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, really. That's the point, of course, bringing it into schools, because they want to influence the younger generation so that they don't listen to people like us. So that they really want to indoctrinate. So this is, well, they've been indoctrinated hitting us. It's just ramping up the indoctrination. But of course, it's becoming more obvious. And at the same time, there are many children who are far brighter than they're being given credit for being. And many of them are seeing. And again, this is another ramping up something to the point where more parents are saying, no, I don't want my child brought up in this system, and find other ways. So whether it's homeschooling, unschooling, or whatever, you know, it's I don't want my child to be indoctrinated in this system. So looking for an alternative way of providing their child with a real education, not going to follow this authority because, you know, well, again, you know, it's a logical fallacy. Oh, you know, trust the authority. You know, we are learning to take responsibility for ourselves, learning to trust ourselves, learning to recognize when we know something is wrong and say, okay, well, what can I do about it? And instead of feeling, oh, there's nothing I can do, go, actually, well, there is something I can do. And that's another reason for collaborating with other people, because you know, we can't all come up with all the ideas for everything. So we, you know, connect and collaborate with other people and say, okay, well, you know, who's had whatever ideas, and just, you know, pull ideas and say, oh, okay, and just develop something and say, oh, okay, let's try this. So, like, you know, a group of parents got together and said, okay, well, who can help them, you know, learn to read? Because I do think they're basic skills that are useful, like reading and numbers, you know, the sort of numeracy and literacy, because, you know, they're useful out in the world. You know, if you want to read an instruction manual for a piece of machinery, it's, you know, it's useful if you can read. I mean, there are some, you know, some people that probably just don't need the manual and can work it out for themselves. And at the same time, it's useful. It's not like, you know, being indoctrinated, but it's just, it's a useful skill. So, you know, basic skill. But the rest of what's taught in school is not necessarily that useful. And there are lots of life skills that we're never taught in school. And, you know, it can take years before we even learn that it's something that we need to understand. So yeah, so I'm noticing the time. So yeah, I mean, there's so much to all of this, and it's as you say, this censorship and the fact that it's really ramping up is again, it's another opportunity to find ways to be inspired to do something different, to work our way around it, you know. So it's like, oh, okay, well, that door's closed. Let's go round and see where there is an open door. Let's see where we can, you know, knock a hole in the wall so we can do it a different way. I mean, not literally, but, you know, sort of figuratively find a way around it.
You've got a new article, Dawn, on AI as well, being implemented into the healthcare system. We talked about this years ago, that this was coming. And also the mRNA technology that was going to be part of just everything, you know, that it was going to be the new childhood vaccination schedule, and yeah, it was going to be a part of medicine and pills and potions and everything, but also the AI technology being implemented into the healthcare system. I think a lot of us are seeing that now. And so you've written a new article on that as well, which kind of ties up what we're talking about tonight anyway a little bit. I'm posting it on the Crass Files as well in the opinion piece. This is from your DawnLesterSubstack.com page. But an interesting sort of look for you as well, going into AI. It's something that we can't avoid. And with the medical system, I guess, you know, put out there to the public as this, like, extent, ultrasound is, you
inevitable
know,
clean that they would go and, that way, because, you know, they've increased
helpful
they're
and wonderful
increasing
and
the use of all sorts of technology. I mean, you know, it's not
that's
like recent.
They're selling,
I mean,
the digital ID now, you know.
These,
you don't need to do anything. We're going to do everything for you. But
MRIs and CT scans.
This is something.
Just all these sorts of things of
looking at the so-called healthcare system,
testing our bodies
healthcare.
And being able
it's amazing
to
the
assess
wording they use
what's
to
wrong
it.
with us.
But
and of course,
introducing AI into healthcare.
And the point really that I wanted to emphasise in that article is that
that
it doesn't matter what they use
to read, Dawn,
if
and go
it's
back
not
to your
based
Substack,
on
but,
an understanding of how the body works, which
quite
of course
a new path for yourself, is
then
it?
Then it's not going to tell anybody anything.
For a while, it is pretty. It is pretty incredible, and it's moving quickly, isn't it? AI and healthcare, as they call it.
In that is that of course they'll use AI to replace the staff, of course and if people who work in the medical system don't realize that their job could be on the line, you know, that it's about time they started to realize that, and maybe that might inspire some of them to say, hang on a minute, you know, you can't do what I do, which if the healthcare system was about healthcare, then absolutely, because the human part of helping somebody else recover, I mean, nobody can make anyone else better, but there's something about the actual human contact to that helps you, you know, feel better, and, you know, it's like the bedside manner, that kind of thing. But removing that, I mean, so many people, you know, in the healthcare system feel that, you know, they're not considered to be a human being. They're looked at as being, you know, a number, a patient, or this or that, you know. So the human part of it's moved out of that system, and it'll be even more so with AI, because it'll just be an input. It won't be somebody who understands anything about you, doesn't even care about you, will just input information, and you'll get something or other and of course it's not based on anything relevant to how the human body works. So it's not about health in any way, shape or form. It's just moving us more into this, as you say, Orwellian nightmare, or it could do.
If they're injecting these mRNA technology and nanoparticulates into people's bodies, Dawn, and people are getting these strange symptoms and things, that would only make sense that they would build up this machinery and AI tech to deal with it, you know, and also come up with new injections and new things to treat the problems that they initially caused with those first injections, because there was nothing wrong with anyone. Everyone was fine, but they made people believe that they were going to catch and spread something that simply wasn't there, a boogeyman phantom thing. And they went and they got this technology injected into their bodies, which is going to eventually cause all these unknown symptoms and problems. But don't worry, they've got all this new AI medical tech and pills and potions and new AI injections or mRNA injections or whatever they're working on to fix all the problems that they caused in the first place. So it's like people are lab rats, you know, they're going to experiment on with all their new technology. When you look back through the years, there was nothing wrong with anyone. It's really just a mental thing. They believed something that just wasn't there, and they conjured it up, and they went and they made a silly mistake, and they allowed something to be pumped into their bodies that was foreign, you know, alien or whatever the hell it is, black magic, whatever you want to call it, and now we have a problem with people's health. But, you know, it seems to be like that as well. I'm sure they've got a lot of gadgets, Dawn. They're going to conjure up, you know, for all the conditions people are suffering. When health really should be quite simple. Clean food, clean water, clean mind, you know. Let's just live our lives and have a good time here, you know, and learn. But they're creating all these complications and all these things that we just simply don't need. And you look at this AI tech, as you're explaining in the article, and where they're going medically, as they call it, but it's absolutely insane, as I was saying. It's just not needed. And it's obviously something that's going to capture our mindsets, and we're going to keep looking into, because it is building incredibly. And it's very important that you've put that article up, I think. very important for the for the readers out there and listeners to have a look at this, because people have come to me and I've spoken to people fairly recently who have had to go to hospitals,
well, it's new hospitals and things, and they're talking about
the gadgets and the, and the tech now, and the 5G towers hovering over the hospitals.
For people not to be
the stuff that they're incorporating
in all of all this machinery. Yeah, it's like technology.
Now, is all this needed?
We're human. I mean,
why do we even need all of this?
Allowing it to take over.
We're obviously on the wrong path here. We're going down the transhumanism path, and that is not the right way to go. We shouldn't be doing this. But people are starting to see it. We talked about it years ago with Jim and about all this, about these fancy machines and ultrasound machines, how this technology was going to take over. And they do show you in the science fiction movies always and stuff like that. It's quite an incredible concept. But good you're writing about it, Dawn, and that it's popped up on your radar
that,
anyway.
Machines are better than us. Well, that's not true. There is no machine that can
Massive, isn't it? It's a big beast.
Anything that a human being is capable of, we are superior. They're just trying to make us feel insignificant and unimportant with, this whole technology thing. And you just go, well, actually, machines are made by man.
I guess when you're sick, though, Dawn, if you're really sick or they tell you that you have some kind of condition or cancer and you go in and they show you these machines and they tell you that, we're going to fix you with these machines, it conjures up belief in people's minds. It takes away, doesn't it? It takes away you healing yourself and being in charge of your own health.
To nurses, it's not
you sort
even
of give yourself
the
up
nurse,
to these machines and this new technology they're adding in all the time.
When you're not feeling well, it's have somebody with you who cares, even if they don't do anything, that they care about you and they're concerned for you. So as you say, it's that human touch. No machine can do that. Even if the so-called, as you say, it's laughable healthcare, even if the so-called healthcare system was actually worked on the basis of how the human body works, which it doesn't, no machine can actually replace the human touch, the actual.
You can't beat the proper care
touch.
Of a nurse or and, something, can you? When someone's not well or an elderly person is in a hospital care or something like that, when you've got a proper trained caring nurse
somehow
with that human contact,
fancy, the whole idea of, hospitals being all clean and sterile and it's like, but they're awful, they smell awful. It's like, anyway, it's not. Technology is not the way to restore health. The using technology doesn't help us restore health. The way to restore health is to understand that it starts with us taking responsibility for our own, our own bodies, taking control. As you said, what we eat, what we expose ourselves to, which includes, physically, mentally as well as physically, going outside, bare feet, having joy in your life, having fun, not being stressed, not allowing yourself to get angry over the slightest thing of, having a difference, because you're supposed to be angry because somebody has a different viewpoint from you over something. You just go, okay, well, maybe we don't agree on that, but that's fine, because there's all, look at these things that we do agree on, so it's like, okay, let's just even talk about it and say, okay, well, this is how I see it. Oh, this is how I see it. Okay, that's interesting. It's okay. Do we have to say, well, this is my view? It doesn't have to be done that way. And that's where what they don't want. So they want to keep fomenting these riots and this violence and these opposing ideas, and we've got to think a certain way and all that nonsense. So it's restoring our humanity and recognizing other human beings. We are social beings, and let's be social instead of being antisocial.
That's right. That's right. And just looking at your the writings now, and I've posted the latest one.
in this.
And might get into this on the next podcast, Dawn. How do you talk to yourself? That's an important one. I'd like to discuss that a little bit. You've got another one here about demonizing
Sorry,
the
sun.
Well,
the sun, title is inspired
which
by,
is an important one as well. But
a document that
as
was,
we finish up tonight, we'll discuss these on the next podcast. We'll just finish
James
up tonight with What If My Body
COVID,
Was Brilliant,
which was this upcoming event that was put out last year.
Tell the listeners out there what this is, how it came about. Give
Alex
us the bullet
Zek,
points of this event. I'll put up all the details
of,
there for
Alpha
people
Vedic,
who
Alex
can
Zek
head over
forward,
to the London area.
And also the Sovereign's Way and some other
this,
collaborators. That
university,
this
it looks
immense
like.
Resource of
Herringham Hall,
over
University Inner Circle, Regent's Park.
I've
put the tickets
and
details and everything up there. People for this
the
speaking event, but what is it? What does
on
this mean?
What
is
COVID,
what are people
what
going
about,
to
you know, the germ
see?
Theory, putting aside, you know, showing the exposing everything and all the problems. And part of that, as I say, part of that was this document that prepared by James, who actually, you know, it's called What If My Body Is Brilliant. So just asking all sorts of questions and making people realize that, you know, our bodies really are brilliant. We can, our bodies are capable of looking after ourselves. We don't have to look to others. You know, it's an amazing document that was actually then put into a video, which will be shown at this event. So the event was the inspiration of Lisa Straback, who's a homeopath, and she invited Alex Zek to come over from the US. He's the, as I said, he's the, his organization is called The Way Forward. And also Jacqueline Dunn, who's a natural healer. And she invited me as well. So the four of us, we each are giving a talk at this event. So it runs between 1 o'clock and, just before five on that. Well, in 2 weeks' time, Wednesday the 28th of August in London. And tickets are still available for another week approximately. So the ticket sales will close before the actual event, but they're still open for another week. And I've sent you the link. So the event is really just sharing information about, you know, our bodies being brilliant, what we can do, how we can help ourselves heal ourselves. And you know, with homeopathy, it's not that homeopathy cures anything as such, but hope that, you know, these homeopathic remedies help the body help itself. So it supports, so these remedies support the body as it, you know, restores itself to health when we have, you know, various situations. So again, these, it's not like it's a, you know, just a different kind of medicine that suppresses symptoms, that they don't. They actually support the body, which is you know, the new way of looking at what can we do to help our bodies be the brilliant organisms that they actually are. Because in a lot of cases, you know, we're getting in our own way, and you know, whatever we're exposed to. So because things are somewhat more difficult, there are more toxins in the atmosphere, you know, in the environment and everything, that we possibly, you know, some of us may need to, you know, help our bodies a little bit more and support them. So it's just looking at ways that we can help ourselves. And part of my talk is going to be looking at what we can, you know, the power of our mind, and, you know, so really showing the fear can actually be detrimental to our health. So how we can get out of the fear, and obviously that helps, you know, supports our health, so physical and mental. So that's a bit of the background. I have a friend who lives in London, so I shall be in London for a couple of days. Yeah, well, it's just, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't go back to live there, but, you know, this kind of occasion, it's good to, you know, it's okay to go in for a couple of days and come out. So
nice. Sounds great, Dawn. And so those dates, 28th of August, that's the one day. You're traveling there for the, you're staying there, or
yes,
or you're going there and then coming back Returning back.
Oh, yeah, because it's con yeah, because it's conspiracy theories, you
Bunker
know,
up.
it's disinformation. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's a very packed event.
Yes.
These kinds of things are really interesting, and I hope we see more of them. These kinds of things you have in the halls and things. I mean, we pay our taxes. We're tax-paying citizens. This is our place too, and we should be able to have these speaking engagements and events in town centres and halls and even, libraries and things like that. I mean, they let the drag queens in the libraries to read to children. Why can't they allow stuff like this where people are coming and having conversations about, all this kind of stuff, Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? But you can get a satanic drag queen in there, with their legs open reading children books. I mean, it defies belief, but you can't have this stuff. And we want to see this stuff more and more. We want to see in every town. We want to see in every city. We want to see these in events. I mean, you look at cinemas, Dawn. I mean, look at these cinemas for the Hollywood movies. They're everywhere. Almost every street corner, they've got a big cinema where you can go and watch the movies. they got all these things everywhere, convenient, don't they? Why can't we have more of this stuff, instead of doing that, where you can go to see these things and have something to eat and drink and a coffee or whatever. These are the things that we would like to see more of, and so it's good that you're that this is happening, and these people as well, these young people coming on board here and speaking. It's really phenomenal. It's fascinating times to be here and be alive, and it's wonderful to be part of all of this and witnessing it as well. All these great younger people coming up through the works there and doing these kinds of events as well, and you'll be intertwined with them. And doing all this, so it's really good to see. So it is incredible times, and we do cover some dark territory, of course, some darker waters, but that is needed in order to face it. We can't just deny that it's there, and we have to cover and talk about really everything that we're seeing. It's very important to do so. And if something's bugging you, you need to bring it up and talk about it and have a conversation about it. And so really amazing times that we're seeing here in 2024, Dawn, to say the least. And as the system around us becomes more desperate to maintain control and order, we would only expect it to lash out a lot more. And that doesn't mean that we need to be scared of it. It just means that we're making ground, and that means that we're on the right path. If nothing was happening, you might be a little bit concerned. And sometimes that is the way, it kind of doesn't make sense, but when you think about it, it does. And if the system's going to, make a big stir and a big fuss and lash out and try to make things scary and everything, it just means that we're making a ripple effect here, and a lot of people are coming on board, and it's really fascinating to see. I've never seen such a great awakening, to be honest. It's phenomenal. When I was on social media and Facebook years and years ago, there wasn't really much happening, and now to be on these channels, it's unbelievable, Dawn, to see how many people.
Tickets available for the event if people are able to turn up in person. If they aren't available, aren't able to actually go there, there will be it will be held as a virtual event, so people can still buy tickets. And as I say, I've sent you the link so people can use my code and get 10% off the ticket, for the virtual event as well. So yeah, that's it's so again, it's for aimed at like freedom-minded people looking at different ideas, solutions. They
Dollar
asked us
vigilante.
to talk about solutions. So my talk will be similar to the one
Does
in
good work.
London, which is really based on how we can not allow or how we can remove ourselves from fear in with respect to our health. So it is about, the activating the power of the mind. And there will be a number, as I say, a number of other speakers who, you know, some they may recognise from various places. So yeah, have a look at the website, look at the speakers, and if you can't come in person, then certainly consider buying a virtual ticket, and then you can watch the event. So which will be great. So yes, thank you. Yeah, this has been a great conversation. I'll have a look at my calendar for September. Haven't got it in front of me, but I'll let you know, and we'll sort set something up, and then have another chat later in September, and I'll give you an update on how both events went. Yeah, it'll be great. And as you say, well, I may have written some more articles by that time if I can get them done before the end of the month.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are seeing what's happening in the UK as well, as with the riots and burning shops and fighting the police, is exactly what the system wants.
Yes.
And I'm starting to get that picture that in order to thrive and survive and move forward in our own way, perhaps fighting the system is not the way to go. Maybe we need to find our own way forward by ignoring the system, not playing into it,
yeah,
not paying into it with our energy or anything.
Yes.
And just simply bypassing it, you know, because I do believe that life, all our lives, you know, if we look at life, it does present an infinite number of freeways right in front of us, you know. And I think, you know, by paying into that fear and paying into that system, you know, it gets you sort of entrapped in it, you know, like a vicious circle. And I'm starting to sort of think that as now. I think a lot of us are starting to think, well, perhaps, you know, let's stop trying to fight back against the system, because that's what they want us to do. They want us to fight their police and bicker and argue and smash stuff and burn stuff and everything like that, because that just it just adds fuel to the fire, and then they use that against us and to bring in more draconian measures, you know, and restrictions against us. But perhaps we should be working together, because we're so powerful when we're all together as a collective, you know, and find better ways forward and say, you know what, we're sick of this system. It doesn't do anything for us. We don't need it, and we're not paying into it anymore. And let's sort of find another way forward. So this encapsulates your ongoing work, and I think it's going to be important to continue anyway these types of discussions, you know, moving forward. It's hard for us, you know. It's hard for all of us. You brought up people that brought up in front of the TV, you know, I mean, brought up with the magazines and the newspapers and the propaganda, and you begin to think a certain way, you know. And so it's hard for many people to break those chains, break those shackles, and believe in themselves, and find a way forward, and trust in yourself, and not be so involved in the system. So, you know, I was thinking that the other day, you know, watching in the UK, I think a lot of people are starting to see it on both sides, you know. There's a lot of people from different countries who live in the UK, and they love it too, and they want to be there. And I think people need to come together and fix the problem, and fighting the police isn't going to get anyone anywhere. A lot of them are unable to express themselves properly, and it's frustrating for them, because the government and what they do and how they just treat people and how they backstab people and how the media throw fuel on the fire and how the media just, you know, seem to be against the public, and it makes people angry. But I think if we withdraw our energy, our time and stop, as I said, paying into this, we could find a better way forward, because, you know, we won't be watching their media. You know, we won't be paying into their system anymore. And I often think about that, you know, what if just an entire country didn't go to vote? You know, for this president or that prime minister or this liberal or that Labour, it's just a merry-go-round, you know, the whole thing. They just keep us going around and around in this vicious circle, life after life, you know. And I think there's got to come a time when people sort of think, you know, enough's enough. Enough with the fighting, enough with fighting you, the system, more. and they're becoming sick of the whole system, and they're starting to think, well, you know, maybe we should be going our own way here. And as a community, when you have people around you that care, we can do pretty much anything. You know, it's really limitless. So it's going to be really interesting moving forward as we continue our discussions anyway. But great chatting with you tonight. Yeah, it's good to be it's good to be alive at this time and thinking in the way that we are. I think this is it. I do. I think within, you know, we'll probably have many lifetimes. I think this is it. We're really awake and aware to what's going on. I think we can find some solutions here. So moving forward will be great, and it will be great to catch up about this. What if my body is brilliant? deep one, Dawn, and there's a lot of questions I have that I want to go through with you about this, actually, with the body and how we're treating ourselves and how we're thinking about ourselves. For this to go to London and do this talk, so hopefully it's a good one. Good luck on that, and I look forward to chatting with you on the next podcast. Stay there as I tie this up, and we find out how it all went, and we talk a little bit about this and go a bit deeper into this subject.